فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. I want to advise myself and the brothers and the sisters that marriage in Islam is serious. And maybe we've said it more than one time that marriage is serious. But how many times do we have to say marriage is serious for the brothers and the sisters to understand the seriousness of marriage? Marriage is not a game in Islam, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And there's more to marriage than just getting married and divorced, as been the case for many of the people in the community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Marriage has responsibility in it, and the responsibility on the man's side and the lady's side is magnificent. And we hear the cry from the men and the women every time there's some advice given in light of the Quran and the Sunnah around the issue of marriage. If the men are reminded of their responsibilities and their namely their financial obligation in the marriage, then the brothers start whining and crying. And then the sisters, if they're reminded of their obligations in the marriage, namely being obedient and pleasing their husbands, then the sisters start whining and crying. Everyone acts as if the Quran and the Sunnah is against them, except for the people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed to be on pure guidance from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who live their married lives like the rest of their lives in accordance to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As they understand that this guidance from the Quran and the Sunnah, and these commandments from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they all help us to have better marriages. And they help us to achieve that which should be achieved from the institution of marriage. Are you displeased with the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or do you think that there is guidance better for you and your marriage than the guidance of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And if that's not the case, why don't we understand the seriousness of marriage and we keep whining and crying that the Quran and the Sunnah is against us as men, or the Quran and the Sunnah is against us as women? Marriage is serious. So let's start taking marriage seriously, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. Most of us, when we think of marriage, we think of satisfying our desires as men and women. And this is a part of marriage, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And everyone wants his desire to be fulfilled, and everyone has a right for it to be fulfilled Islamically, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. But marriage is more than that. And if we like to, we could emphasize this part of the marriage and the different texts that go along with it, but we don't need any text when it comes to fulfilling our desires, because everyone already knows what he wants fulfilled. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. But when it comes to the other aspect of the marriage, then we forget. Just as you want pleasure out of your marriage, there's something else that's called patience. And do we always pay attention to pleasure and always forget about patience? Or are we going to give, inshallah ta'ala, every aspect its proper due? Just as we give importance to the pleasure that we should get out of our marriage by marrying a handsome man or a beautiful lady, likewise we should give importance to patience that's going to take place. The first night is lovely, and so is usually the second or the third or the first couple of months or whatever, and then the word patient becomes a reality to you, like it or not. And then you either take assistance in patience and in salat and rely on Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and continue with your marriage for the sake of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, or you just drop out because you didn't realize that after pleasure and enjoyment that there was such a word called patience that everyone must understand when it comes to the marriage. And this patience is going to be across the board, whether it's the patience of learning each other out and dealing with each other's bad habits, or the patience of the financial situation that for most of us is usually up and down, or we have good times and bad times. But the word patience and being patient in our marriage, we're going to have to learn the importance of this in the marriage, just as we've learned that enjoying yourselves and having a nice time is a part of the marriage. We have to, inshallah ta'ala, begin to look at marriage in a broader, and having a broader outlook on marriage than we've had in the past. As many of the people are saying, I haven't been married in a year. What does that have to do with marriage? Or I haven't been married in 6 months. What does that have to do with marriage? And even this statement, as we continue to allow it to really fester in the community, is only a sign that the only thing people understand out of marriage is the fulfillment of their desires. And that they don't understand that marriage has other aspects to it. Having and raising children, so that this ummah can be the biggest ummah. Do we realize what's behind having and raising children? It's not as easy as just getting married. It brings a fuller light to the word of marriage. Raising children isn't easy. And we can see that right now if we take a look at many of our children. May Allah help us with them. Do we realize this when we go into the marriage? Are we really expecting that Allah might favor us with children and that that's going to be a responsibility on us in our marriages? Or do we think that marriage is only about the lady and fulfilling our desire? Or only about having a good time with the man? Wallahi, this vacationing in the hotel and going on vacations and trips and stuff, all that stuff is good when the first couple of days or whatever that the people use to enjoy in their marriages. When the responsibility gets bigger, ain't going to be no time for vacation. Everybody's going to be crying for one, but how are you going to get one? Especially if you have to raise your children in accordance to the Quran and the Sunnah. And especially as we are in the beginning of establishing Muslim schools or Islamic schools, it's a big financial demand on the parents in raising the children, which is going to take away too from that extra money that you might use to go disobey Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam on some of these vacation spots that many of the people go to. Do we realize that this is going to be a part of our marriage when we get married, or we think that having and raising children has nothing to do with marriage and we don't take the seriousness or a serious look at that when we want to get married? But we just look at, I haven't been married in 6 months, or I haven't been married in a year, or whatever the case might be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Marriage is serious and it has many aspects to this issue of marriage. Are we going to realize it? Brothers have to realize that a part of marriage is studying and learning and practicing Islam. Wallahi, some brothers, they haven't sat in any classes. They haven't read any books. They don't listen to any tapes. They don't know any Islam. Wallahi, you don't know that the sisters be complaining about the brother's level of Islam? Does the brother think that getting married doesn't mean he's going to have to read even if he didn't like reading before? Or he's going to have to start listening to some tapes that he didn't listen to before? Or he's going to have to start sitting in some classes and getting some points of this deen down so that he can teach his wife and his children and educate them and set an example? Do we realize that this is a part of marriage? Or does someone think that he can get married and fulfill his desires without learning anything about Islam? What type of marriage are you going to have if you don't learn anything from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Wallahi, we ask Allah to help us, that maybe if we were just asking the brothers on the musalla right now, maybe somebody wouldn't know how to say the tashahud in his salat properly. Wallahi, how is he going to teach his wife and his children the tashahud if he doesn't know it himself? And many of us, may Allah help us, I don't know if it's arrogance or shyness that prevents us from sitting down and learning what we have to learn of this deen. But if you think that marriage, the institution of marriage, and sitting down and learning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, that there's no connection, wallahi, you don't understand which marriage is in Islam, and you're not taking marriage as seriously as marriage needs to be taken. It's more to marriage than just fulfilling your desires, and we could mention more and more about the institution of marriage, but I hope inshallah that we look a lot more seriously into marriage than just looking to fulfill our desires. You're going to fulfill your desires, but you're going to wake up the next morning and reality is going to slap you in your face, and you have to be ready for reality if you're a grown man and lady before it slaps you in the face, subhanAllah. You don't know you're going to wake up tomorrow, inshallah, if Allah gives you life, and that you're going to have responsibilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entrusted you with after being married, or are you just going to marry the sister, and the sister, she's just going to marry the brother, and then tomorrow they're going to realize, I didn't even realize that we had to take care of all this stuff that I knew good and well we had to take care of before we got married. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to understand that marriage is serious, and much more serious than we've been taking this institution of marriage. Brothers and sisters, we need to talk to some of the people who are married so that we can, inshallah, look into marriage with broader eyes than we've been looking into marriage, so we can see the fullness of it, inshallah ta'ala, so that we can start better perfecting this institution of marriage than we've been doing in the past. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Before we end this piece of advice, I just wanted to bring some of the verdicts pertaining to how to get married so that we are aware of them, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. I was trying to, in the past, to make it a part of my methodology or practice that we might make every marriage amongst the three different ways that we find in the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to get married, so that the people, inshallah ta'ala, can see the fullness of the sunnah of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wa salam, and that the people might be educated that there's sometimes more than one way to perform a particular act of worship in Islam. The way that we know that there's more than one way, if it's been narrated on the authority of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this goes for the institution of marriage, and it goes for everything else. To know if there's more than one way to perform any act of worship, then we have to take a look at the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wa sallam, has married, and one of the famous hadith that we are aware of, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married the man to the lady for what he had with him of the Quran. But what we benefit in this hadith is one of the ways that the marriage ceremony takes place. And that is that the imam or whoever is performing the marriage and delivering the khutbatun nikah, then he would say that I am marrying you, brother, to this sister for the dowry of such and such, or the mahar of the sadaq of such and such, as we saw in the example of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is from Islam. And likewise, we find what is the common practice that I've seen here, that the brother asks the wali to marry sister so-and-so to me, and he accepts, and then the marriage is complete. And this too has been proven authentically reported from the way of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala knows best. And likewise, the other way that we had saw before, I think that was last week, where the wali himself will say, I'm marrying so-and-so to you. And then the brother who's getting married, he says he accepts. These ways are from the ways of Islam that have been authentically reported on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala knows best. Let's just be aware that in some of the acts of worship, that there's more than one way to do it. And the way we know is that which has been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. The last point that I want to make around the verdict pertaining to marriage, so that we stay clear, inshallah ta'ala, is that, ya rahmatullah, there is such thing as the fake phony wali. There is such a thing as the fake phony wali. This is the brother who takes it upon himself without the permission of Allah and in opposition to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he's going to be wali over sister so-and-so. The wali is that relative in the family, or the male relative in the family, who's going to be of age and sound mind, that's going to be the wali of that lady who is the relative to him, the blood relative to him. This is the normal way that a person is a wali over whoever he is a wali for. With the likes of what we had saw in last week's marriage, with the father being the wali for his daughter, or the uncle being the wali for his niece, something like that. This is the normal way that a person is a wali. The other way is the way that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taught us, that the leader is the wali for the one who doesn't have a wali. Like a sister accepts Islam, then the Imam of the Masjid or the President of the Islamic Center or whatever becomes the wali for that sister. This is the other way that someone becomes a wali, because he was the leader of the Muslims in that area or in that masjid or in that Islamic center or university or wherever the case may be, where the Muslims have agreed that so and so will be in charge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The last way, which is really affiliated with the last way that we had just mentioned, and it could be affiliated with the first way that we had just mentioned, and that is that if the father is traveling, he could entrust his waliship to brother so-and-so to marry his daughter for him in his absence. That wali would kind of be like the wakil. This is what you call the wakil. He's taking the place of the wali in the wali's absence with the wali's permission. Not that somebody just come and just say, nix the father, he out of it, I'm the wali. But that the father entrusts so-and-so to be the wali, and then he's the wali. Or in the case if the leader entrusts people in the community, or whoever he might entrust with the authority to, in his place or his absence, or even in his presence, to be the wali, to handle that responsibility for him, then those people also are the legitimate walis, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Everybody else, they are the fake, phony walis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rid our community and the rest of the Muslim communities from this misunderstanding of Islam, where any man could just jump up and be the wali for any sister. And lastly, we need to mention the verdict, inshallah ta'ala, around people who feel that they have the right Islamically to snatch the waliship from the bad, evil wali. If a man who is a wali over someone and he's not good, and there's some foul play in his guardianship, then that case will be taken to the leader, and the leader is the wali at the time that the walis have an argument. For example, the uncle says the father is off of it. He's preventing the sister, he's preventing his own daughter from being married to that righteous brother or something. I need to stand in. If he stands in and they present their case to the leader, and then they find out is he justified or not justified or whatever, either they work that out, or the leader is the wali at the time that the walis argue over who has the right to be the wali. of this point, inshallah ta'ala, is understood so that the people don't take it on their right as we oftentimes do. We feel so-and-so is a bad person, we want to snatch all of the authority from him. Allah, if this was the case, as we have mentioned in some of our classes before, if the people felt this way, people would snatch all of our children away from us. I don't like the way he beat his children. It's so brutal, it's not right that child has to live with his father treating him like that. Wallahi, how do you know what's brutal and what's not brutal? That's the way you view it. Use it with your children. Somebody else might feel that father never beats his child. How in the world can you raise a child you never beat him? Wallahi, we need to take that child from that negligent father and put him in a household that will show him his place as a child by giving him the necessary beatings that he has. And these are only examples, and the examples can go on, and everybody would be snatching everybody else's children, feeling that the parents aren't good parents. And this is the same case with the wali not being a wali. Wallahi walhamdulillah, in most of the cases that I've found, the walis, they have their act together, even if the people differ with them. As some of the people, they say, wali so-and-so, he's not on his deen. Maybe he's not on his deen, wali so-and-so. But that wali who's not on his deen left kufr for a deen better than kufr. You tell me he doesn't have something together? He knows kufr is falsehood and Islam is the truth. It shows that he has something together. And then, at the same time, the wali is in charge of his daughter. You think he don't want good for his daughter? Because he doesn't want to marry his daughter at 12 years old, that means he don't want good for his daughter. Subhanallah al-Azim. A man over his daughter, he has some concern for his daughter. Maybe you don't feel he's making the right move, but it doesn't mean that the man himself, he doesn't have an intellect and he's not making a move that's in the best interest of his daughter, of who he's the wali for. We might differ, and oftentimes it just looks like we differ with someone. But if we differ with someone, then we just take it upon ourselves to say that I have more right than so-and-so, or I'm more legitimate than so-and-so. Or so-and-so is out of it. So-and-so might be wrong. Who doesn't have the leeway to be wrong? All of us have the leeway to be wrong. Ain't nobody telling you, why are you buying Tropicana orange juice? Why don't you buy such and such? It's a better deal than it, Florida orange juice or whatever. Wallahi, nobody can tell us what to do with our money. They can advise and offer nasiha and what have you, but everybody's going to make his own decision whether you feel it's the best decision or the right decision, so long as there's no foul play, meaning disobedience to Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. There's no ayah or no hadith that tells a brother is in the haram if he doesn't marry his daughter at 12 because the person who is offering is a righteous brother and everybody knows he's good in the deen. Wallahi, there's nothing like this in Islam. I hope that these issues, inshallah, or these verdicts around the institution of marriage in Islam, that we understand them and we pass them on to the other Muslims who don't understand, so that they might understand, inshallah ta'ala, to save ourselves from the bid'ah or the smaller bid'ahs, that if we continue to practice them, they'll lead to the bigger bid'ahs, which eventually have the possibility of even leading us out of this Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Alhamdulillah.
Bismillah. Abdul Hakim, marry the sister to me, inshallah.
Naam, your proposal has been accepted and I marry Sister Fahima to you.
ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. I want to advise myself and the brothers and the sisters that marriage in Islam is serious. And maybe we've said it more than one time that marriage is serious. But how many times do we have to say marriage is serious for the brothers and the sisters to understand the seriousness of marriage? Marriage is not a game in Islam, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. And there's more to marriage than just getting married and divorced, as been the case for many of the people in the community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Marriage has responsibility in it, and the responsibility on the man's side and the lady's side is magnificent. And we hear the cry from the men and the women every time there's some advice given in light of the Quran and the Sunnah around the issue of marriage. If the men are reminded of their responsibilities and their namely their financial obligation and the marriage, then the brothers start whining and crying. And then the sisters, if they're reminded of their obligations in the marriage, namely being obedient and pleasing their husbands, then the sisters start whining and crying. Everyone acts as if the Quran and the Sunnah is against them, except for the people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed to be on pure guidance from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who live their married lives like the rest of their lives in accordance to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As they understand that this guidance from the Quran and the Sunnah, and these commandments from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they all help us to have better marriages. And they help us to achieve that which should be achieved from the institution of marriage. Are you displeased with the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or do you think that there is guidance better for you and your marriage than the guidance of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And if that's not the case, why don't we understand the seriousness of marriage and we keep whining and crying that the Quran and the Sunnah is against us as men, or the Quran and the Sunnah is against us as women? Marriage is serious. So let's start taking marriage seriously, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. Most of us, when we think of marriage, we think of satisfying our desires as men and women. And this is a part of marriage, walhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. And everyone wants his desire to be fulfilled, and everyone has a right for it to be fulfilled, Islamically, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. But marriage is more than that. And if we like to, we could emphasize this part of the marriage in the different texts that go along with it, but we don't need any text when it comes to fulfilling our desires, because everyone already knows what he wants fulfilled. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. But when it comes to the other aspects of the marriage, then we forget. Just as you want pleasure out of your marriage, there's something else that's called patience. And do we always pay attention to pleasure and always forget about patience? Or are we going to give, inshallah ta'ala, every aspect its proper due? Just as we give importance to the pleasure that we should get out of our marriage by marrying a handsome man or a beautiful lady, likewise we should give importance to patience that's going to take place. The first night is lovely, and so is usually the second or the third or the first couple of months or whatever, and then the word patient becomes a reality to you, like it or not. And then you either take assistance in patience and in salat and rely on Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and continue with your marriage for the sake of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, or you just drop out because you didn't realize that after pleasure and enjoyment, that there was such a word called patience that everyone must understand when it comes to the marriage. And this patience is going to be across the board, whether it's the patience of learning each other out and dealing with each other's bad habits, or the patience of the financial situation that for most of us is usually up and down, or we have good times and bad times. But the word patience and being patient in our marriage, we're going to have to learn the importance of this in the marriage, just as we've learned that enjoying yourselves and having a nice time is a part of the marriage. We have to, inshallah ta'ala, begin to look at marriage in a broader and having a broader outlook on marriage than we've had in the past. As many of the people are saying, I haven't been married in a year. What does that have to do with marriage? Or I haven't been married in 6 months. What does that have to do with marriage? And even this statement, as we continue to allow it to really fester in the community, is only a sign that the only thing people understand out of marriage is the fulfillment of their desires. And that they don't understand that marriage has other aspects to it. Having and raising children, so that this ummah can be the biggest ummah. Do we realize what's behind having and raising children? It's not as easy as just getting married. It brings a fuller light to the word of marriage. Raising children isn't easy. And we can see that right now if we take a look at many of our children. May Allah help us with them. Do we realize this when we go into the marriage? Are we really expecting that Allah might favor us with children and that that's going to be a responsibility on us in our marriages? Or do we think that marriage is only about the lady and fulfilling our desire? Or only about having a good time with the man? Wallahi, this vacationing in the hotel and going on vacations and trips and stuff, all that stuff is good when the first couple of days or whatever that the people use to enjoy in their marriages. When the responsibility gets bigger, ain't going to be no time for vacation. Everybody's going to be crying for one, but how are you going to get one? Especially if you have to raise your children in accordance to the Quran and the Sunnah. And especially as we are in the beginning of establishing Muslim schools or Islamic schools, it's a big financial demand on the parents in raising the children, which is going to take away too from that extra money that you might use to go disobey Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam on some of these vacation spots that many of the people go to. Do we realize that this is going to be a part of our marriage when we get married, or we think that having and raising children has nothing to do with marriage and we don't take the seriousness or a serious look at that when we want to get married? But we just look at, I haven't been married in 6 months, or I haven't been married in a year, or whatever the case might be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Marriage is serious, and it has many aspects to this issue of marriage. Are we going to realize it? Brothers have to realize that a part of marriage is studying and learning and practicing Islam. Wallahi, some brothers haven't sat in any classes. They haven't read any books. They don't listen to any tapes. They don't know any Islam. Wallahi, you don't know that the sisters be complaining about the brother's level of Islam? Does a brother think that getting married doesn't mean he's going to have to read even if he didn't like reading before? Or he's going to have to start listening to some tapes that he didn't listen to before? Or he's going to have to start sitting in some classes and getting some points of this deen down so that he can teach his wife and his children and educate them and set an example? Do we realize that this is a part of marriage? Or does someone think that he can get married and fulfill his desires without learning anything about Islam? What type of marriage are you going to have if you don't learn anything from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Wallahi, we ask Allah to help us that maybe if we were just asking the brothers on the Musalla right now, maybe somebody wouldn't know how to say the tashahud in his salat properly. Wallahi, how is he going to teach his wife and his children the tashahud if he doesn't know it himself? And many of us, may Allah help us, I don't know if it's arrogance or shyness that prevents us from sitting down and learning what we have to learn of this deen. But if you think that marriage, the institution of marriage and sitting down and learning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, that there's no connection, wallahi, you don't understand what marriage is in Islam, and you're not taking marriage as seriously as marriage needs to be taken. It's more to marriage than just fulfilling your desires, and we could mention more and more about the institution of marriage, but I hope inshallah that we look a lot more seriously into marriage than just looking to fulfill our desires. You're going to fulfill your desires, but you're going to wake up the next morning and reality is going to slap you in your face, and you have to be ready for reality if you're a grown man and lady before it slaps you in the face, subhanAllah. You don't know you're going to wake up tomorrow, inshallah, if Allah gives you life, and that you're going to have responsibilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entrusted you with after being married, or are you just going to marry the sister, and the sister, she's just going to marry the brother, and then tomorrow they're going to realize, I didn't even realize that we had to take care of all this stuff that I knew good and well we had to take care of before we got married. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to understand that marriage is serious, and much more serious than we've been taking this institution of marriage. Brothers and sisters, we need to talk to some of the people who are married so that we can, inshallah, look into marriage with broader eyes than we've been looking into marriage, so we can see the fullness of it, inshallah ta'ala, so that we can start better perfecting this institution of marriage than we've been doing in the past. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Before we end this piece of advice, I just wanted to bring some of the verdicts pertaining to how to get married so that we are aware of them, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. I was trying to in the past to make it a part of my methodology or practice that we might make every marriage amongst the three different ways that we find in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to get married, so that the people inshallah ta'ala can see the fullness of the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and that the people might be educated that there's sometimes more than one way to perform a particular act of worship in Islam. The way that we know that there's more than one way, if it's been narrated on the authority of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this goes for the institution of marriage, and it goes for everything else. To know if there's more than one way to perform any act of worship, then we have to take a look at the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wa sallam, has married, and one of the famous hadith that we are aware of, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married the man to the lady for what he had with him of the Quran. But what we benefit in this hadith is one of the ways that the marriage ceremony takes place. And that is that the imam or whoever is performing the marriage and delivering the khutbatun nikah, then he would say that I am marrying you, brother, to this sister for the dowry of such and such, or the mahar of the sadaq of such and such, as we saw in the example of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is from Islam. And likewise, we find what is the common practice that I've seen here, that the brother asks the wali to marry sister so-and-so to me, and he accepts, and then the marriage is complete. And this too has been proven authentically reported from the way of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala knows best. And likewise, the other way that we had saw before, I think that was last week, where the wali himself will say, I'm marrying so-and-so to you. And then the brother who's getting married, he says he accepts. These ways are from the ways of Islam that have been authentically reported on the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala knows best. Let's just be aware that in some of the acts of worship, that there's more than one way to do it. And the way we know is that which has been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. The last point that I want to make around the verdict pertaining to marriage, so that we stay clear, inshallah ta'ala, is that, ya rahmatullah, there is such thing as the fake phony wali. There is such a thing as the fake phony wali. This is the brother who takes it upon himself without the permission of Allah and in opposition to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he's going to be wali over sister so and so. The wali is that relative in the family, or the male relative in the family, who's going to be of age and sound mind, that's going to be the wali of that lady who is the relative to him, the blood relative to him. This is the normal way that a person is a wali over whoever he is a wali for. With the likes of what we have saw in last week's marriage, with the father being the wali for his daughter, or the uncle being the wali for his niece, something like that. This is the normal way that a person is a wali. The other way is the way that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taught us, that the leader is the wali for the one who doesn't have a wali. Like a sister accepts Islam, then the imam of the masjid or the president of the Islamic center or whatever becomes the wali for that sister. This is the other way that someone becomes a wali, because he was the leader of the Muslims in that area or in that masjid or in that Islamic center or university or wherever the case may be, where the Muslims have agreed that so and so will be in charge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The last way, which is really affiliated with the last way that we had just mentioned, and it could be affiliated with the first way that we had just mentioned, and that is that if the father is traveling, he could entrust his waliship to brother so-and-so to marry his daughter for him in his absence. That wali would kind of be like the wakil. This is what you call the wakil. He's taking the place of the wali in the wali's absence with the wali's permission. Not that somebody just come and just say, nix the father, he out of it, I'm the wali. But that the father entrusts so-and-so to be the wali, and then he's the wali. Or in the case if the leader entrusts people in the community, or whoever he might entrust with the authority in his place or his absence, or even in his presence, to be the wali, to handle that responsibility for him, then those people also are the legitimate walis, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Everybody else, they are the fake, phony walis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rid our community and the rest of the Muslim communities from this misunderstanding of Islam, where any man could just jump up and be the wali for any sister. And lastly, we need to mention the verdict, inshallah ta'ala, around people who feel that they have the right Islamically to snatch the waliship from the bad, evil wali. If a man who is a wali over someone and he's not good, and there's some foul play in his guardianship, then that case will be taken to the leader, and the leader is the wali at the time that the walis have an argument. For example, the uncle says the father is off of it. He's preventing the sister, he's preventing his own daughter from being married to that righteous brother or something. I need to stand in. If he stands in and they present their case to the leader, and then they find out, is he justified or not justified or whatever, either they work that out, or the leader is the wali at the time that the walis argue over who has the right to be the wali. I hope this point, inshallah ta'ala, is understood, so that the people don't take it on their right, as we oftentimes do. We feel so-and-so is a bad person, we want to snatch all of the authority from him. Wallahi, if this was the case, as we have mentioned in some of our classes before, if the people felt this way, people would snatch all of our children away from us. I don't like the way he beat his children. It's so brutal. It's not right that child has to live with his father treating him like that. Wallahi, how do you know what's brutal and what's not brutal? That's the way you view it. Use it with your children. Somebody else might feel that that father never beats his child. How in the world can you raise a child you never beat him? Wallahi, we need to take that child from that negligent father and put him in a household that will show him his place as a child by giving him the necessary beatings that he has. And these are only examples, and the examples can go on, and everybody would be snatching everybody else's children, feeling that the parents aren't good parents. And this is the same case with the wali not being a wali. Wallahi walhamdulillah, in most of the cases that I found, the walis, they have their act together even if the people differ with them. As some of the people, they say, wali so-and-so, he's not on his deen. Maybe he's not on his deen, wali so-and-so. But that wali who's not on his deen left kufr for a deen better than kufr. You tell me he doesn't have something together, he knows kufr is falsehood and Islam is the truth. It shows that he has something together. And then at the same time, the wali is in charge of his daughter. You think he don't want good for his daughter? Because he doesn't want to marry his daughter at 12 years old, that means he don't want good for his daughter. Subhanallah al-Azim. A man over his daughter, he has some concern for his daughter. Maybe you don't feel he's making the right move, but it doesn't mean that the man himself, he doesn't have an intellect and he's not making a move that's in the best interest of his daughter, of who he's the wali for. We might differ, and oftentimes it just looks like we differ with someone. But if we differ with someone, then we just take it upon ourselves to say that I have more right than so-and-so. Or I'm more legitimate than so-and-so. Or so-and-so is out of it. So-and-so might be wrong. Who doesn't have the leeway to be wrong? All of us have the leeway to be wrong. Ain't nobody telling you, why are you buying Tropicana orange juice? Why don't you buy such and such? It's a better deal than it, Florida orange juice or whatever. Wallahi, nobody can tell us what to do with our money. They can advise and offer nasiha and what have you. But everybody's going to make his own decision whether you feel it's the best decision or the right decision, so long as there's no foul play, meaning disobedience to Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. There's no ayah or no hadith that tells a brother is in the haram if he doesn't marry his daughter at 12 because the person who is offering is a righteous brother and everybody knows he's good in the deen. Wallahi, there's nothing like this in Islam. I hope that these issues, inshallah, or these verdicts around the institution of marriage in Islam, that we understand them and we pass them on to the other Muslims who don't understand, so that they might understand, inshallah ta'ala, to save ourselves from the bid'ah or the smaller bid'ahs, that if we continue to practice them, they'll lead to the bigger bid'ahs, which eventually have the possibility of even leading us out of this Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك الحمد لله.
بسم الله. Abdul Hakim, marry the sister to me, inshallah.
Now, your proposal has been accepted, and I marry Sister Fahima to you.